I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Idiots, we are all the way to episode 26 on this top 40 journey, and I am so exhausted in my bed recording these intros, but I absolutely loved this episode. I remember doing it. It really touched my heart. I thought it was really interesting. Now, I'm well aware many of you are not psychic medium people, and that's fine. It's still a fun conversation, and she gave me perspective about my dad. I remember in this because it stuck with me. I don't remember that she actually called him in. It just was sort of a perspective based on me telling her about him. And it really helped change my perspective on our relationship and heal me a little bit, even more so. So that was nice. I want to apologize because the audio does get kind of crappy in this one for one reason or the other. I can't remember why, but that didn't seem to stop you guys from listening because it's climbed pretty high up here. So I enjoyed her. If you liked her, you know, get in the Facebook group. Let me know. Do you want to have her back? Do you want me to have another psychic medium back? Do you know one that you would like me to talk to? Listen, am I just trying to get psychics on to low-key? Oh, God. This is what I get. This is a spirit shaming me for trying to use psychics to get free mini readings and pretend they're guests. Which I'm just kidding. But I would love to talk to psychics about the state of the world. And more importantly, a friend of mine has like a clairaudience, clairvoyance thing. And I would love to talk to someone who like can distinguish those things. I mean, I know that there's a difference in that and clairsentient, which I guess maybe I am, if that's what intuition is, just a feeling. But I don't know. It'd be interesting to talk to people with different abilities and have them try to describe it in this realm. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. I'm shutting the fuck up about other interviews I want to do. Why am I just delaying getting this done? Whew. Episode 26 of the top 40 episodes of all time. It's a doozy. You're going to love it. I loved it. Please enjoy Getting Spiritual, literally, with medium Sarah Renee.
Hey, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed. It's me. You know me. I'm here with the amazing, okay, Sarah Renee. I shouldn't say your name first. I should say all the cool things, but I mean, you are like internationally acclaimed medium. You're an incredible, like, best-selling author. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. I mean, I'm very into mediums, psychic. Well, at first, let's like, for the people listening, because I have a wide range of listeners who have all different beliefs and different opinions. Yep. Lots of skeptics, lots of people who are, awesome. You know, like me, not like me. Yeah. So let's talk about first, what does it mean to be a medium? Because I think people go medium, psychic, and they think like it's all just one thing. But yeah, what are you as a medium? Like, mm-hmm. Tell me.
And that's funny. That's actually why I changed my technical like term to spiritual medium versus psychic medium.
Yeah.
Just for that reason, even though it's the same thing. but so, you know, the main difference is a medium, it specializes in bringing through people who have passed away.
Wow.
Or messages from the other side. Whereas like a psychic is more like they could do tarot. They might see, you know, some things with the future. They might read energy. Like,
but you're specifically like kind of communicating with mm-hmm. spirits who are on whatever the other side is. That's where they are.
Yes. And I mean, that's why, like, because I have people from all religion, like all backgrounds, even atheists. So it's, I call it just, you know, afterlife / before life. I channel new babies that are coming in too. So,
whoa, that's crazy. Okay. I want to like dig into all of this. So first of all, when did you realize that you had this ability?
You know, I thought I was just a weirdo most of my life, to be honest. I just thought that there was something like wrong with me. When I was 5, I think like the clearest example, because I was really afraid of my abilities. I saw a lot of scary things when I was little.
I can only imagine.
You know, it was like just like the horror movies that we watch. Like,
yeah, oh, Jesus.
Like, and then when I was 5, my grandmother passed away, and it was like the middle of the night. She had cancer. My mom, you know, got the call, and I made her take me to the hospital. I was like, grandma's not going to leave until I go say goodbye. And I still remember like sitting on the bed and talking to her as if she was sitting next to me, but really her body was
chills. I just got chills.
Like laying down. And then I just got up and I was like, grandma's fine. I was like, she's going to go, but you know, I can
but she's okay.
So it's okay.
Wow. And was your mom just like, all right.
Like, yeah, I think she just like, you know,
whatever you need to cope. We love you, grandma.
Exactly. Like she had her own grief going on. So I don't think she really had the
capacity. I'm sure.
As long as you're okay.
That's yeah. Wow. And then from then until like, how long did it take you to really, because I imagine having an ability like that can mm-hmm. be like, I mean, as you said, you're like, I just thought I was a weird kid. You're like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. How long did it take you to really embrace that you had this ability?
So, like a really long time. Like when I was 18, I went to my first like medium/astrologer. She was really the one who connected the dots for me and was like, hey, do you ever have experiences like this? Like, because I'm seeing that you have mediumship ability. So this is, and she like laid it all out for me.
I love that. I just love the idea of a medium being like, they're telling me that like you're a member of this club, so I don't really know why you're here.
I know, like, you can talk to them on your own.
That's so
but it
funny.
Was like, because before that, to me, it just, I felt like I had anxiety all the time. I felt like I saw things that nobody else saw. Like I didn't know. And I tried to numb it with a lot of drugs and alcohol.
Well,
and,
I'm sure. Cause you're like, you know, feeling quote crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, I just thought I was really strange. And then, so that was kind of my like first moment of validation of like, oh, okay. I'm not just like this weirdo. I mean, in some circles, I still am, but like,
same girl. Oh my God. No.
what can you do? But, yeah. but you know, but it like explained. So then I at least like understood like, okay, this is really an ability that I have. And so I like being addict personality. Like I was like, I'm going to jump in all the way and like, solve murders and save the world. And
of course,
you know, like no big thing, like who, you know, but what I learned with that was, you know, it's so when you don't have any foundation of any kind of spiritual, you know, I believed in God and stuff, but I didn't really have that built in like reliance, you know, or any kind of practice. I didn't meditate or pray or anything okay. like that. So I dove in with like zero protection and totally freaked myself out. Seeing like dark, like especially trying to solve murders.
Oh, cause it's like you're diving in.
Yes. Like I saw this homicide that I like wanted to solve that had happened in our area with like involving people I grew up with. And I saw flashes of it in my head from a very dark lens, and it was so traumatizing for me. So,
wow.
So then I was like, nope, never mind. and it wasn't for a few more years until I moved from Arizona to San Diego and started teaching yoga and like, and got sober and more like dove into my spirituality that then people's loved ones started coming through when I was teaching yoga and doing like healing work, and it felt so much lighter. And I was like, oh, okay, this doesn't have to be scary.
Wow. That's fascinating that like when you started clearing your head, you got sort of these more positive or more clear images. I want to talk about the difference a little before like you embraced it. Like what was getting an experience like before you had really been like, oh, I'm a medium, it's okay, this is normal, versus, you know, once you've accepted it. So like before you kind of leaned into who you are, what was it like to have an experience, so to speak?
It was, I would say, like overwhelming, you know, is a kind of one word. Like no matter how it was, like how it came through, it was very like things would happen to me. Like I remember a boyfriend of mine in high school got in a fight one night. It was like in the middle of the night. I woke up in the middle of the night in my bed, my house, feeling like I was getting kicked in the stomach.
Whoa. Like,
seeing these people around kicking me, like having flashes of what was happening as if it was happening to me, but I'm in my bed at home. I had to crawl to the bathroom. Nobody knew what was wrong with me. I didn't know what was wrong with me. It stopped, you know, in like, I don't, like a few, like 10 minutes or something. And I found out that that was what was happening to him at that time the next day. And so that like, but like, I didn't really think it was cool. I thought it was like more like, now I look back and I'm like, look at how like good you were. Like, you know, like when I
look
back
at myself, how in tune you were with your, you were such a good partner.
Yeah. Like, look at that. Like,
like just, I mean, that is being empath on like a horrific level where you're like, I guess I'm getting my ass kicked too.
Yeah. Like it was, it was pretty extreme. So, I mean, the, you know, those would feel bad. Or like if I walked into a house and let's say somebody died in there, like I would just, I would kind of take it all on, because how I, even like now how I do readings is I see things through the person coming through their perspective. So like, you know, if they got shot, I experience getting shot. So I like, I, when I, before I really even understood, like if I went into a house and let's say somebody, like one time there was somebody hung themselves in that house, I couldn't breathe. Like I had to like run outside because I couldn't breathe.
You would like, oh, start experiencing. Like
yeah.
The-
and then I, and so like, I just thought, I'm so sensitive. I need to like live in a bubble or something. Like,
yeah, I can imagine. How do you, how do you like deal with that now? How, what do you do to kind of protect yourself from?
Yeah. So now I've learned that like by embracing it, and it was funny, like even before I started doing readings full time, just by like understanding and embracing kind of who I am and this, this ability, you know, gift, curse, some may say, you know, it, it at least gave me the awareness to like stop. So now like if I walk into a place and I feel like, we went to a hotel, my family, and I felt like, oh, I'm hanging, like I so I stopped for a minute, like the bellman's like unloading our stuff, and I'm like I can't breathe. And then so I know now, I'm like, hey, has anybody died in this room, you know? And he's like, oh yeah, like somebody hung themselves from the balcony, you know, several years ago. So I was like, oh, okay. So now that like what I know, I'm like, okay, cool.
So you can just go like, okay, something probably happened here. Totally fine.
Yeah. And so then I just talk to them, and like if it gets like too much, I'm like, okay, you need to back off. So it's like big boundaries.
Okay.
Well, boundaries are very important with with these sensitivities, or you know, and then like all long I'm constantly saying in my head, like, please send all energy that's not mine back to where it came from with love and compassion. That's like my 24/7
You're kind
mantra.
Of like mantra. Wow. That's fascinating. So is it like like an ongoing throughout the day thing to really maintain that mantra? Does that help you not be inundated everywhere you go?
Yeah, you know, and I think in the beginning it was a lot of work, like trying to remember, like I would set reminders on my phone so that they'd go off like every couple hours to remind me to clear my energy or, you know, something.
I love but that. That's really,
now it's just so habitual. Like it's just normal.
Yeah. You just built the habit. So you just kind of do it. And that's, I mean, that's good for you. So when you're giving someone a reading, do you, I mean, what does a reading look like? Like, do you ever get inundated by, like, if someone comes in and they've got like a bunch of dead people, are you getting like, is there a crowd? Like, wait, I have to say something. Well, I want to tell her something.
That's so funny. That's like exactly how it is. Like, I'll get like a line behind me, or sometimes like a family will show me, like, it's almost like they're at like a huge dinner. It's like a dinner party where like everybody talks over one another. And like,
oh my God, that's so funny.
Or like they'll give me like this tapping on their wrist, like watch, like if somebody's taking too long, like I'll feel the next person like, excuse me.
That sounds
we're
so
on a time limit here.
We all have something to say, and yeah, there's only like, an hour.
You,
so
wrap it up.
That's so, it's like a giant 12-step meeting.
Yeah. It really is sometimes.
Wow. Is there, do you experience, I mean, I guess you said with like the choking, but when you're just giving someone a personal reading, do you have a, like, do you experience any physical, like, do you sweat? Does it cause stuff, like, physical reactions?
Yeah. Like, so it's funny. I used to get, like, because they're, like, if you think about, like, vibration, like, everybody kind of talks about high vibration, low vibration these days. You know, like, low vibration would be, like, that person that makes you feel really heavy and, you know, and kind of negative.
Yes.
You know, and then high is, like, not just happy, but, you know, it's, like, light, buzzy. Like, I always think of, like, hummingbirds or something.
Oh, yeah, that's a great way to put. And you know those people, too. There's, like, a different.
Yeah, like, you can tell the type of person.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, you can really, I mean, let me ask you this, I guess. Do you think everyone, is this like a very unique ability? Do you think everyone, if they really worked, could anyone like tap into some level of maybe not medium, maybe, but or like psychic abilities?
Mm-hmm. I think that everybody has intuition. I see around everyone spirit, like everyone has guides, angels, loved one, somebody.
Really?
Somebody's watching out for everyone.
Is there anyone here with me? okay.
Like, so anybody has the ability to tap into their people, you know, or their guides, like for that support.
Okay. That's awesome.
So with that, I don't feel that everybody, like, it's honestly kind of my pet peeve, like all those like psychic classes that like teach people.
No, I mean, that blows my mind when people like learn to be a psychic. I'm as someone who absolutely would love to learn that. But yeah. I go like, there's no way that's a thing. That's not a muscle you can just get to the point of being like a fully, I'm sure if you have the ability, but to me mm-hmm. it feels like, and tell me if I'm way off. It's, I mean, there's a reason they call it a sixth sense, but it's like, mm-hmm. you know, some people are visually impaired. Some people are fully blind. Some people have better than 20/20 vision. And I feel like mm-hmm. maybe it's in that most of us don't have the skill. Mm-hmm. Like most of us are nearly blind or blind, but mm-hmm. you know, some people, like how much can you really strengthen the actual ability? I'm sure like how you deal with it is what you strengthen more than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and then you're, I mean, I feel like too, there's some degree of whether you want to call it like destiny or your soul purpose of like, are you supposed to be doing readings? Are you supposed to be doing that? You know, like,
yeah,
like I know people who work in law enforcement who will feel like a murder victim, guide them to like a piece of evidence, but they don't go around calling themselves mediums. Even though I would argue like they have that, they're tapping in.
Absolutely. It's just being used in a different way. And, and I'm sure, you know, depending on how you were raised, where you brought up, you know, if you came from a very scientific or cynical family, who's not into this stuff, you just go, that's just, well, I think about that with like, I mean, you said intuition and I think everyone, I think it's a universal experience that every once in a while you kind of have this realization of like, oh yeah, I gotta just feelings will pass and I don't have to kill myself every time I'm sad or whatever. I don't know. Yeah. That's, but I mean, arguably, is that like actually a message from someone and you're not just like, aha.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's like them like putting in, cause most messages that people get from the other side come through like telepathically like that. So you don't know, like, is it my thought or is it them? That's like the hardest when I teach people how to like embrace their intuition. Like that's like the hardest thing
is learning what is like purely my thought and what is like Abraham Lincoln being like, don't do that or whatever. I don't know. That's so, do you have trouble with that sometimes?
Sometimes like with myself, with big situation, like where I'm biased. So like, you know, I'm trying to think of something like if there's like a big health thing or, you know, or something or like,
yeah,
you know, a big, like a work thing, like I really want to, let's just say like, you know, oh, I really want to do this podcast, but like, I might get like a bad feeling about, but then I'm like, wait, am I just nervous? Or is this like genuinely a bad feeling?
Yeah, that's hard. Cause like we all want to, you know, trust your gut.
Mm-hmm.
And there is the like, and I don't know if it's trauma. And then you have to go, is it my trauma? Is it one of these mediums traumas? But like, there is that like sometimes like this is a bad idea, but it's actually like a fear that you're supposed to push through versus mm-hmm. your body being like, run, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I have to practice what I preach, you know, for sure of like, okay, spirit, you know, I call them spirit, you know, like
great.
Intervene. If this is like what I do when I get really overwhelmed, I'm like, you either make this happen if it's meant to be and help me do it. Or like really show me clearly that I am not supposed to be doing this.
I kind of like that. I just like the idea of, because people go like, give me a sign. And I like your giving very specific boundary directions. Like either show me how to do it or get me out of here. Just, I love that. You're like, just stop it. I don't need a lesson. Just which way are we going?
Yeah. Like, and I tell people, sometimes you have to ask them, like, be clear. Like, I need something that will like punch me in the face with the answer right now.
Yes. Well, do you think that's why it's so like when you're, you know, when you make goals, you like say a goal out loud, why it's when they say like, you know, it's a thing to like, I say like way too much, Jesus. Hey, everyone listening. When people say get very specific with your goals, is a little of that like, because there's people listening, like, so that your spirit guides know how to guide you?
Yeah, because you're like putting your energy, you're funneling it into a specific direction instead of just like scattering it everywhere.
Real.
You know, it's kind of, but then you always want to be open for divine intervention. So like when people talk about manifesting or setting goals, like I always add it on like this or something even better.
I started doing that too. Somebody else mentioned that to me. I love that.
Perfect.
Or even more, this or something better.
Mm-hmm. Because sometimes like we're limited by what we can see. Like they always show me the example of if we're here doing life, like, and we're like, it's like we're hiking on a trail that's like very dense with trees and there's mountains and we can only see what's in front of us. Like we can only see what we can see. So then like spirit and our angels, guides, like they're like our like drone flying above.
I love that.
Being like, hey, up there, go right, you know, turn left. Like
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So basically everyone has a group of
like a group of, I call them like a spirit team.
Okay.
Just because that kind of,
that's great.
All together.
I like that. Okay. So this is a perfect transition, actually. So if everyone has a spirit team, what are like ways that, I mean, are there ways that, you know, a regular individual can kind of try to connect with their spirit team?
Yeah. So like, I mean, I'm a big fan of daily meditation just because it's quiet in your mind. Right. Like, cause if you imagine you're trying to listen, and then you have all of your mental chatter going on, it's harder to hear just on a logical.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely.
Level. So any kind of meditation, even if it's 5 minutes a day, is better than nothing.
Wow. Okay.
And then really just giving them permission to talk to you, because usually it's that they don't want to like interrupt your free will, or they don't want to freak you out, or you know, you just haven't asked. So they're just sitting there like, okay, we're just going to let this person do whatever they need to do.
That's so funny. I'm just picturing my mother like, well, I guess you don't need my help then.
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's like,
well, fine. Do it yourself.
Yeah. She's like, well, we'll see how this goes your way.
Honestly, my whole life would make sense if all of my spirit guides were just like sarcastic and they're just passive aggressive. And they're like, all right, good luck.
They have a good sense of humor on the other side. They have way more fun than us, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. Cause it's like, well, they are like, we're all sitting here being like death. And they're like, bah.
Yeah. They're like really like lightened up a little bit. It's fine.
That's so funny. Wow. Oh, wow. So Is your spirit team always just family members? Is it other people? Is it
non-people?
I don't know.
It could be. So let's like, essentially, like we all come in, we have like a guardian angel. I always see guardian angels as kind of being neutral gender, and they always show me like a white robe, but that's like my symbol for that's just their guardian angel. It's like that's funny. All have one angelic being, whether you want to relate that to a higher energy or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And then any, you know, loved ones who've passed away, sometimes even people's like great grandparents or like a distant like ancestor
that they've never,
you know, that they didn't even know will like take on the job as being one of your guardians. So then there's definitely like the family member ancestor aspect.
Wow.
And then like it depends, you know, on people's energy. Like I'll sometimes see different, you know, beings like Mother Mary might come through for someone, or, you know, like the Egyptian goddess Isis might be helping somebody like with their business. I find her a lot with entrepreneurs for some
reason. That's like, so interesting that she's like, we're killing it.
Like, yeah. Like she's like very like wealth and power. And like,
oh, that's so fascinating.
Magic. And yeah. So she comes through a lot for them. Like Buddha. I've seen Buddha around a lot of people, like, Jesus, you know, like different.
That's so, cool.
Yeah, it just kind of depends, you know, what frequencies I think are aligned and, for people.
Okay. And is it like, is the team like the team is set, or do new spirit guides come in and out sometimes depending on?
They might come in and out depending on like your frequency. Almost like if you think of like mentors, like I know even for me, I'll have, let's say, like Archangel Michael come through every day for. Well, I mean, he's like, I feel like he's always with me, but you know, like he might be more loud or more like present while I'm working on boundaries. Wow. And then like, let's say like I get really good. I like pass that test or whatever. So then, you know, like Mary Magdalene might come through next to help me with my feminine power and like get over my fear of being misunderstood and, you know, that kind of, so they're almost like teachers.
I love that. So they come in at times when like you have a lesson you need to learn or that you're working on. Do you actually, when you sit down with someone, do you actually like see these beings, or is it more of like a feeling? Like how do you,
it's more
how
of
to
a
ask this question.
Feeling or like I'll see them kind of in my mind's eye.
Okay.
Versus like, I don't see them like I see you.
Yeah. That's what I was wondering. If like it's full on.
Like when I see it in the human, like through my human eyes, call it like
that makes sense.
I see it more like just energy.
Okay.
And then like when they want to show me what they look like or something, it'll be like pictures in my head.
Wow. Okay, cool.
And then I'll feel, and then I'll hear, like, it's, so it's kind of like all methods coming through. So usually it's like when I sit down with somebody, I'm like, okay, so I feel, you know, say like a mother energy coming through, and she's like, we were just talking about, I'm just gonna use that as an example of like,
yeah,
you know, like she's very sarcastic, like she's very loving, but I also feel like she's like that person that's a little like passive aggressive, or like she might send you like some sarcastic signs. And then, you know, her passing, maybe I'll, you know, they'll take me to like my head maybe and my lungs. I think that was the one I just did of like, it was like a stroke, but then she passed with from lung cancer.
Oh wow.
You know, so then I'll feel like my organs shutting down, or I'll feel like aches and pain. So then I go through their death and I rely that, and then usually by the time we get through like their energy and personality and death, the person's like, oh yeah, that's, you know, that's my mom.
It takes that long to go like, oh, that's, I know who that is.
Because I never like, because I'm a huge skeptic myself, so like I never like when people are like, oh, your grandmother's here. I'm like, how do you know my grandmother?
Yeah. So you're like, how do you know that's my grandmother? Did she, that's.
Yeah. So I like, I never, so it's my big, like, I will never do that for people. I'm always want to give them some evidence that it is their person.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you do that. Cause it is like, yeah, anyone could just be like, grandma's, you know, here. And yeah, she says, don't be a hussy. So I don't know what that means, but listen to grandma.
Yeah. Because almost everyone has like a grandparent who's deceased,
some, yeah, older, you know, figure
or something. So I mean, that's like an easy one to just assume
to just like grab on to. That makes sense. Well, this is, I mean, there's so many things I still want to ask you. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, lots more questions, but I'm going to like selfishly ask the questions that like apply to like my situation, but I think they'll be universal. So
yay.
We will be right back, everybody. Okay, everyone, I am back with Sarah Renee. We are just getting into some really cool stuff, talking about spirit teams and family members who have passed on coming back to her as a medium. Well, here's what I want to talk about first. Death. Let's just get into death. Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
I make a lot of jokes about death. I also do a lot of jokes about mental health and et cetera, which leads down that road sometimes in my comedy. So I have always been, I don't know if it's a morbid fascination, but I've had a lot of people in my past die. So I'm sure that led to me finding a sense of humor about it, as you do. I guess what I want to ask you about is, if all of these spirits that come to you that are surrounding all of us are, you know, people have passed on, what is that? What is the transition period from death to spirit life like? Is it one thing? Is it different depending on how you die? I don't know. How can we get into that?
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So first, I would start with, say, like, you know, I love that you laugh about it, because it's a joke in my family of how, like, I'll call them up and be like, I died in a new way today. And I'm like, always so excited.
Cause you're like feeling and experiencing someone's death.
Yeah. So like, I'll tell that, I'm like, okay, well, like jumping off the Coronado Bridge, like into cold water and dying that way is like probably one of my least favorite ways.
Whoa. I love that you like rank them. Do you have, can I ask you, like, with all the deaths you have experienced, you know, through these other people, is there one that you're like, yeah, I think that's the one I want. I want to do that one.
Yeah. You know, like I really, one of my favorites was a woman who was passing, and she had like the morphine going, you know, and she was in the hospital.
Oh yeah.
Like, she was like listening to, like, her loved ones are around her, and she loved to party. And so they had music on and good food, and she was just listening to them laugh, and it felt like falling asleep. And that was by far my most favorite. I was like, I would be happy with that.
I love that. I also like hearing that from your perspective, the reassurance of someone in that position, really, because they tell you that, you know, if you have my dad passed away last year and he was in the hospital, and they tell you, oh, they can still hear you. And we played like a playlist of his favorite songs, and like, but it's cool to hear that you experienced it from that perspective.
Yeah,
sure, the morphine doesn't hurt
either.
So
like soothing, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. So cause it's like, just like, I mean, falling asleep with all your favorite people around you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh,
yeah,
that's
so it's
great.
Like, you feel really safe. So like that, another one of my favorite ones was a man who had a heart attack while he was snorkeling, but he loved being in the water. So it was like, it was sudden. It was a little bit painful. It was like I almost feel like a pressure and like a sharp pain in my chest.
Yeah.
But it was so fast. And then he was out of his body, and like, he passed doing what he loved.
Just like
so
looking.
I was like, that's cool.
That's cool. If it's quick, I imagine that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the
more,
slow
it
ones
takes some
that.
Time, that's a little. Yeah.
Oh, is the transition, is it like, is there a process? Is it different if it happens suddenly versus?
There's definitely like a little more shock I find when it happens suddenly, like yeah. I've had like car accidents where then somebody's standing there and they're like, wait, like I can't go back into my body. Like what's happening? Like there's a little cushion there, you know, or like if they're just shot and they didn't really even see it coming, like they're like,
wow,
just it. Like I'm just gone now, you know, which, like, so yeah. There's a little confusion sometimes in that process. Yeah. But mostly like, there's this period in the physical death that I find kind of no matter, I've had it like when people are shot and killed, and then when people pass away from Alzheimer's or cancer, you know, illness.
Yeah.
It where right before the body finishes shutting down, where the soul actually leaves first. And then, or like, this is big with like life support, people who are on life support. If you yeah. take them off life support, you might see their body like move or gasp or something, but they're already out of their body. So yeah. they don't feel that at all.
That's, oh, wow. That's interesting. It's just like the physical machine that they were in is mm-hmm. giving its last little, but like,
yeah.
That's so interesting because I mean, I think, I don't know, I can't assume what anyone has experienced with losing a loved one who was taken off of life support or a ventilator, et cetera. But it was interesting with my dad. There was like, because he was on a ventilator and then they took him off. They were like, we're going to take him off. And it was just me and my brother in the room. And they were like, you know, his vitals are pretty bad. So he'll probably only have a few breaths at most. It'll probably. Mm-hmm. So they, you know, we said all our goodbyes and stuff before they pulled him off. But it was interesting because they pulled him off. We were playing his favorite music. And I don't know how to explain saying like, I could feel his energy leave his body, but there was like, it was energy. There's no way to explain it, but like mm-hmm. I could feel something leaving the room, but it was before he was like officially pronounced, like he had a few mm-hmm. more little breaths mm-hmm. and like, but it was, I don't know. It was the same, I guess the way to explain it for anyone listening, maybe you've had a similar experience, but it's like, you know, when you like get goosebumps or you can just tell yeah. something's off. It was just like a feeling and then going like, oh, he's gone. And then,
mm-hmm.
he died. So that's just really interesting. Do you
yeah, like a lot of people will tell me that like they'll feel or like in a reading, like spirit might show me like their soul passes through you as they leave, like as a way of like hugging you goodbye.
Wait, that makes so much sense actually.
Yeah. And like a lot of people are like, oh, like, yeah, like right before.
Yeah, like, it's like a non-wind, so to speak.
Yeah. Like, it's like there's no breeze. But it's you could, almost like that, like it moves through you, like in that same way.
Wow. Yeah. That is just cool to hear. And also like reassuring for my own, because my dad and I hadn't seen each other in years and then he passed away. But what I want to get to, I'm just trying to like say it very callously, like don't start crying, keep interviewing.
Yeah.
is there like a transition period in like someone leaving their body before they come back to like spirit guide? Or is it just like, all right, you're out, do what you're gonna do? Like,
yeah. So it depends like where, because like if you think it like Earth is like school.
Yeah.
So we come here and we learn all these lessons or we don't.
And then they're like, you know, get back out there.
So in the case of, let's say somebody, you know, did like really refuse to learn a lot of their lessons for whatever reason, or maybe they were all the way to a terrible person and they were abusive and hurt a lot of people around them. They will be, they'll still get the peace of the other side. Like they get that love, and it's like they end up in a safe place. I want to say it's almost like they end up in such a safe place they can finally work through all their stuff. So
wow,
they still get that peace, but they have to experience everything that they put out.
Oh, it's like, oh, here's like a wad of karma.
Yeah. We get it kind of all at once.
Oh, wow.
You know, or, and we have to feel everything that we created. So, you know, that process is very good for, you know, really good people who did a lot of nice things. Like they finally get to feel all the good that they really did that maybe they didn't even know.
Yeah. Wow.
But then somebody who, like I said, like caused a lot of harm, that process is more of a wake up call.
They get to like really get the lens of like, by the mm-hmm. way, this is how you made people feel. And this is what you did mm-hmm. in case you didn't know.
Yeah. And like in situations where there's been like a, like you said, like you didn't speak to your dad for, you know, a few years, like in those situations, a lot of times it's like the person finally seeing like the other person's perspective.
Yeah.
Cause they're out, we're out of our ego. Like we're out of our head and our lens. So it's like, you can finally see the whole picture.
I mean, you're, yeah, absolutely. You're nailing it, because there was just with my situation specifically, like I was so clouded with anger because my dad left. He left when I was a kid, he left again. Mm-hmm. And it had been so long since I saw him that until I got a call and I was like, I guess I'm supposed to go see him because he's dying. It was mm-hmm. like, I had gotten so angry that I forgot that like I loved him, you know? Mm-hmm. But I had the experience of like finally understanding his perspective of like all he was doing. And like, yes, there were fuck ups, but like this like flood of good memories and realizing he had his own issues he was working through. And even going in to see my dad, it's so funny because I mean, what you said about when you were young visiting your grandma, it's obviously not, it's not the same thing at all, but that like moment of her almost waiting for you. Mm-hmm. It was like with my dad, when I was going to see him, I was very, it's like a backwards thing to be. I was very fortunate that he was a Floridian because they were letting people into hospitals, which is questionable. Wow. And it was limited, but it was like two people a day, only if they're in the ICU. But wow. That wasn't the case everywhere. So I know I was very fortunate. I was going to say
that's still, yeah, that's.
But I had spoken to my cousin who called and let me know, and then I reconnected with my stepmom, and them plus all the nursing staff were like, look, he's not responsive, he's not going to wake up, but if you talk to him, he can hear you. And I swear on everything, I walked in and I was like, hey dad, and he woke up, and he like literally, I mean, he was on a ventilator, he couldn't do much, he's on morphine, but like,
yeah,
eyes open, like rolled over, and like,
wow,
it was incredible. And we were able to have this sort of pseudo conversation because all he could do was like nod and stuff, but it was just like this moment of forgiveness and like clarity. And should not have started talking to my dad.
That's like that's a huge lesson in similar situations that I've seen, like for him, because for somebody to, because usually when somebody, I want to say all the time, there's no blanket, you know,
that's okay, but what's the
right, yeah. But like a lot of times when somebody leaves, abandons their family, or right, it's because there's some wound, there's some story that they have going on of like they don't know what love is, or they don't really know how to be in the family, or like, So sometimes in those, or a lot of times in those instances, like that soul will maybe from the other side before they're even born, be like, I want to learn like what real love and forgiveness is. And so they'll come into a family like where maybe they don't experience that so much. And then it might end up in a situation like that, like where they cause you a lot of harm. They know they have, they just don't know how to stop necessarily.
Yeah.
Different.
I can't stop hurting everyone.
I mean, you know, like sometimes that's where people are at. And then you go, so then he has this experience right before he, but like before he even passes, of you forgiving him and having that love. So like he's gonna feel that like a lesson, like almost like, wow, like she taught me like she showed me how to love and forgive.
Oh no, I'm crying. Wow.
So sometimes it's like, even though
it's a really like, long lesson, like it doesn't happen until right at the end. Mm-hmm. What a fucking, can you imagine leaving that life and you're like, you waited till the last minute like that?
Yeah, but, well, and it's even worse, like the people who don't even do that, and like they learn on the other side and they're like, wow, like it only took me like
so long
lifetime and dying and be-
Wow. That's interesting. So do you feel like, because I know you said you, you know, sometimes communicate with unborn babies. Well, let me ask you this. Are all the spirit team around us, are those considered enlightened beings? Like, does everyone become a spirit guide or a spirit?
Not everyone. So like, let's say like your dad could be like, so sometimes I'll see it like, and I'll just use your parents since you shared like as an example.
Yeah, that's fine.
Like, it'll be like your mom might be the boss over there and your dad might have like limitations on like how much advice he's willing or how much he's willing to intervene.
Yeah.
Depending on like if they feel it's in your highest and best good.
Okay.
Or sometimes people, if they had parents who just weren't who haven't learned, who haven't evolved that much, like they might be able to visit them and connect with them, but their guidance or their like divine interventions are coming more from
the
like,
other the
angelic, you know, like the higher.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm trying to think how I want to phrase. Let's talk a little bit about like the concept of reincarnation. Is that a thing? Do people ever get sent back that it's like, no, you got more lessons. You're not, get back out there. Or are all babies new spirits?
What they show me is like, is it, yes, like reincarnation is a thing, that it's more of like, we have like soul families, which aren't always all of our biological families. Sometimes we have those family members who are just more of a lesson or
yeah,
need to heal some generational stuff or whatever.
Yeah.
Then, so our soul family can be like, it's usually a combination of friends, family, partners or spouses, maybe kid, you know. And so we'll all, they show me is like, we'll wait, every soul that passes will kind of wait on the other side and be more like a guide or a supporter until the whole soul family is together. And then it's like, you all, like everybody decides like, okay, I want to learn this lesson. I want to learn this lesson. So like, you know, like you and your parents, like you might have been their parent last lifetime.
Yeah. So it's like, okay. So like the whole, but it's sort of like from what you've been told and experienced, it's this cyclical, like, but the whole family kind of, you go through like.
Yeah. Like we kind of go with like a core.
Yeah.
With
someone goes first and then like someone goes. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And like, we figure out like who wants to be siblings, who wants to be married, who wants to do this. Like
they just all, they like pick ahead of time.
Who's going to play what role to learn what lesson or fulfill whatever purpose.
Wow. That's fascinating. Cause yeah, I've always heard about, I mean, I've talked and read a lot about past lives and how sometimes mm-hmm. your relationship with someone is tense and it's, you have this like unresolved thing
mm-hmm.
from a past relationship
it might be like where you come in a totally different dynamic. Like maybe you were brother, sister, and then you come in and you have a romantic relationship this lifetime, but there's like a lot of like, maybe it's one of those. It's like, it's more of a lesson than like a happily ever after situation.
Yeah.
Cause you have a lot to solve from that lifetime. And then you're put in these roles to maybe get a new perspective on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's so fascinating.
Yeah. So like babies, like when I'm bringing them through, like I might pick up on where like one baby I was bringing through was like a little girl and she was like, she had been sisters with her mom before.
Oh, wow.
And then like the daughter of the dad before. So it was going to be like this. So it's like how that feeds into her relationship with her mom and dad. Like, you know, she might be like, have her dad wrapped around her finger and then be like her mom's like best friend, you know, as she
wow. That's so interesting. I think about that all the time. Cause like I have friends that are like so like that with their parents, and it's mm-hmm. just so foreign to me because my dad left. My mom's still mm-hmm. around, and our relationship's much better than it has been, but like she suffers from mental illness and mm-hmm. was an alcoholic when we were kids, so it was very like headbutting for, it's good, it like feels good now, but it's, we'll never be like, my mom's my best friend, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see that, and it's just because what I mean, because every whatever anyone lives, that's sort of their normal. So mm-hmm. I've even had like in relationships, I'm in a relationship now, to adjust to like, oh, my boyfriend's very close to his parents, and mm-hmm. not in a way that's, it's not weird, but like to me it is like, oh, you're visiting your parents again because they live close by, and I'm like, why, are they okay? And they're like, oh no, that's just, you guys have that thing going on, that's cool.
Yeah, like I've like dated people, I'm very close with my mom. Like we yeah. talk and text like all day long.
Amazing.
You know, like on and off, and like I tell her everything. And like I've definitely dated people who are like, that's weird. Who's like, where they barely talk to their mom.
You know,
it is weird for them.
Yeah, it's just different. It's like, that's so mm-hmm. funny that we all, that's not like what I do, so it's weird. But it's like, all right, well, I guess. Mm-hmm. With babies coming in, I have a lot of questions around this. First of all, because that whole situation with my dad that I just explained, he's not even my biological father. He couldn't have kids. So when my parents were married, they went to a sperm bank. So I'm a sperm bank baby.
Wow.
Do babies like choose certain parents? How do you explain like methods like that where it's this outside, you know, my parents wanted a baby, but I actually came from like some other guy just jerking off in a cup, I guess. Why does that happen? What is that situation?
So, I mean, there's definitely miracles, but there are also physical things that we deal with. So your soul, and you know, you could have been a little, sometimes I'll see a soul like more attached to the mom, and like they can kind of be flexible on the dad or vice versa, but like a lot of times it's that your soul chose them, and then there's this physical ailment that comes up where they can't conceive.
Yeah,
but the soul, like, it's still, you still have this soul contract to come in and be their kid. So you just will come in on a different,
like however you have to get in there,
you know, whether it's adoption or surrogacy or the sperm bank, or so it's like more of the soul contract. Like I've seen like adopted babies where they'll come through as maybe a lesson for their biological parents.
Wow.
And then that their soul contract is to live with their adopted family.
That's so interesting.
And to, you know, to break cycles or do whatever they have to do in that lineage.
Wow. So it's like the soul contract kind of goes back to like the plan is made ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, these are the lessons we're going to learn. So you have to be this loosely. Person.
And I mean, there's always like that free will. So of it's course. Not so much like, oh, somebody's meant to be abused or meant to be like this, but
of course,
but it might be that you're meant to come into kind of a dysfunctional family so that you can break certain cycles or like force them to see things because they haven't gotten it maybe for lifetimes. And you're I'm just going to come in and I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'll show you guys. And then maybe next lifetime you can get it.
You get your shit together. Yeah. That's so fascinating. Well, so on that note, like when someone comes to see you, and they're made like, do you know if someone's gonna like have children? Like when you have like a reading with someone, if someone came in and they're like, do you ever have people that you're like, that's not really, there's no one coming for you?
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think if I haven't had, no. How I usually sense it is like, I'll feel the souls of the children, like, especially if they're in somebody's field. So like,
wow.
I've definitely had clients who weren't ready to have children. And I'm like, hey, like there's a kid in your field. So like, if you don't want kids, like be extra careful. And I've seen with my clients kid wants where, yeah. where they haven't listened to that. And
and they're like, oops, I'm pregnant.
And you're like, and I'm like, I told you, like they're just waiting on an opening. Like, so that's usually like when they come through really strong, like they're already in somebody's field, like they're ready to come like in the next couple years, you know, and
wow.
And so before that, but like you can really like call in a baby, like, so, you know, sometimes there's like a maybe where like if you decide like, I really want a child, like you yeah. can create a soul contract, like you can call in that baby some way, shape or form.
Yeah, they're like, is it anybody out there?
Yeah, it's like, you know, like I don't know if you've seen that movie Soul, like you see all the new souls.
Yes, like- I love how they did that. I thought that was really yeah. cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so you can kind of maybe bring something new into.
Yeah, so I mean, like you can create life. I feel like I learned that with my mom. My mom went to psychics with my sister. Like every psychic told her she wasn't going to have another baby.
Wow.
Even ones that had been notoriously accurate for everything. And she stood and she had, and then they were told that they were infertile. My dad had, you know, fertility problems. He's going to be like, what are you talking about this on podcast?
That's so funny. Hey, my dad had them too. It's totally normal, yeah, sir.
Like they were like told by the doctors it was impossible, by psychics it was impossible, and they kept you know, they just knew and they believed, and my sister came and, you know,
yeah,
it worked. So, you know, I feel like that's always, but what I will see when some people come to me that like there is major fertility issue, like maybe they won't be able to have a baby how they've planned it.
Yeah. Okay.
Or
but there's so many methods.
The baby might be waiting for another partner. They might be like, I'm not coming in with that partner.
That's interesting. Does that, okay. Like miscarriages and stuff. Is mm-hmm. that sometimes what that is? That the baby's like, no, this isn't the plan.
Yeah. And sometimes the miscarriage is to like, I've seen miscarriages where it's to highlight a health issue so that, you know, the mom, like maybe they didn't know they had a cyst or a polyp or something going on and they have to then get it treated.
Yeah.
Or like, hey, we're highlighting that this relationship like isn't actually
good
for you. So we're going to leave. And then maybe you'll see this person's true colors in this grieving process and be able to move on. So then baby can come back.
Come and be, yeah. In like the proper environment. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask something that's probably kind of heavy. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, I don't want to touch on that. When we talk about this, yeah. When you bring in the abortions,
mm-hmm.
how does that factor into soul contracts to like what?
Yeah.
How do those fit
question. In? I think I just wrote a post about this for the first time, because I know abortion is a heavy topic. So
the word, people just get triggered. And it's like, okay, well, it's a reality for some people. Mm-hmm. So let's explore it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it happens. And I've seen, I've seen with clients like different kinds. I've definitely seen the only like twice though, where the abortion was not really in the plan and it was free will interfering with divine will.
Ooh.
And
does that just end up with like a pissed off baby that's like, hey, let me out there.
Like, it definitely like they're like, excuse, like this is not like your Rude. Control. Like, you're messing with the plan. But it's like how I see it is like, okay, they're just gonna have to learn now. This kid is gonna come back later, or they're gonna have to learn somewhere else in their life about how little control they actually have.
So they'll learn a lesson in a different way.
And then, you know, so when that's, but it's not viewed, that baby isn't like you just destroyed everything. I mean, you know, like it's not. There's not the heaviness that humans really make it with all of our emotions and that sort of thing.
Wow.
Spirit can handle things much lighter than we do. You know, so that baby, if they really want to come down, like they'll find another way, or they'll come back, or whatnot. Now, abortions, where most abortions, it is actually part of the plan.
Okay. So it's like,
I would say like 9 out of 10, at least, where that soul of that baby's like, I'm going to come in to show them that like, they're messing up right now and they need to get it together. And
so,
I
know, but the plan is not for them to stay. It's like, this is, yeah, they go in and they
come
know
in
this.
And they're like, I'm coming in to like save your life or change your life.
Yeah. Pivot you in the direction you're supposed, yep, to be going.
And then I'm going to take off and be good.
And then I'm like, cool. There's just,
and I'll almost see them as like a little angel or a little guide in their own right. If, you know, if they don't come back later, like I'll sense them forever. Like they still feel connected. Like they're not bitter that you didn't.
No, that's just.
Sound has changed. Okay. And anyone listening, too bad, deal with it. We did it in the early days of quarantine, so it's fine. That's what I get for trying to change up the system. Change the system, my computer system, not, yeah, anything. Making literally no impact on that. No, but okay. I wanna ask a couple of questions in relations to like getting readings, because do you ever have someone come in and like you have an idea of who you think they are, and then their spirit guides start talking and it like changes your opinion on them? Or does it ever like impact, do the spirit guides ever change your opinion on the person? Are you ever like, or vice versa?
Sometimes. I've learned not to be judgmental. Like,
I mean, what a skill that I'm learning every day.
Everybody has stuff. It's really taught me a lot, because like in order to give a clear reading, like I do like meditations beforehand where I really like put all of my opinions like on a shelf so that I can just be a clear vessel for whatever is going to come through. So
amazing.
I see all sorts of, I mean, like I've had days where I have, you know, someone in law enforcement, and then I have somebody who's in a criminal trial, you know, who's a defendant, and they have their stuff. And then, you know, I might have like, I don't know, like a full-time mom, and then, you know, a celebrity, and it's just like
so different.
Yeah. Like whiplash, but like in the same sense, like you see that no matter where people are, like we all have stuff. So absolutely. I find that like usually spirit, like before somebody comes in, like they're kind of in my field giving me a, like a heads up, so to speak. So like I'll feel generally like if a reading is going to be really heavy, like, oh, I'll, wow, kind of get a heads up, like, okay, I need to like take care of myself, cause this is going to be a lot. Or I'll feel like when their guides are really funny and making jokes, and I'm like, okay, this is going to be like a fun time.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
Get like that, you know, a little heads up.
Yeah. Okay. When you do a reading, how long does like a reading last? If someone schedules a reading with you?
I book them in 1 hour time slots. Sometimes I go a tiny bit over. So I always, yeah, try to give myself a cushion, because if spirit's talking,
yeah,
I have to keep going. So, you know, but usually like 1 hour, you know, hour, 15 minutes. That's the general time. Okay. I find half hours just to be so quick that like I used to do them and I stopped because it wasn't, they're so emotional, that I was finding when I was like, oh, half time is up, people were like just getting like, they were like
jarring, like, they're like, I just have to leave.
Yeah, like they were like really like jolted. It wasn't very supportive. So
so you're like, I'm not gonna put people through that anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, no, like let's just do the hour and just get the most out of it. Or
that's so funny. Whoops, there go my notes. Is it just individuals? Do you do group sessions? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is, you know, so I used to do groups live. I, you know, during the whole pandemic time, like Zoom actually ended up being really fun. And like, it's been really cool to do like families where everybody's in a different state or like different countries, and we can all just like hop on Zoom and
wow,
do a reading. Like,
and that doesn't like, so you're still able to connect with these spirit guides even via like when you're just on Zoom, you don't mm-hmm. have to be in the same room.
Yeah, like I do majority over the phone, which I did even before the pandemic, just because of social media. I have clients like all over the world. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. So it's really just more because I think I'm connecting with them. It's not like I have to sync with somebody's energy.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. That, I mean,
it makes like sense. They almost like, I almost see it like. Like when I'm doing a reading with somebody, like we're both kind of like lifted up into like this like higher dimension almost, like we're yeah. like we're in like an office space.
Oh wow.
Without that's... being in the same country even.
Oh, I mean that's so fascinating that you're able to like yeah. reach people at that level. This is just so cool. What are most common things people come to you for, like what are they looking for guidance on, just even if it's general? I'm just curious what you're usually hearing.
Oh gosh. Or is it just all sorts of things? Like I get surprised quite often actually, but you know, I mean, most of the time I would say majority are to connect and really like, so many people just want to know like, is my person like, are they okay?
Yeah.
Did they suffer? Are they all right? Am I crazy? That's a good question. Like, are these signs really them, or am I just making it up? You know, or am I crazy?
Wow.
And then guidance wise, I would say like probably relationships and career are the two most common.
Okay. That makes sense.
You know, like, so.
So like for people listening, mm-hmm. what kind of person, who should come see a medium?
You know, I would say like for media, like anybody who, if you're really in a place where you want to know that there's like some higher force watching out for you or with you, like if you question it, if you doubt it, like if you really want to feel in yourself, because that's what I find like my clients share with me, is it's the difference of cognitively like thinking like, oh, I'm sure somebody's watching down, you know, looking down on me, to like feeling like they've had a conversation with them.
Yeah.
And like where they can bring up stuff that is current to prove that they're watching over them. Like it really gives them that like real knowing of like, hey, they're here with me. I'm not alone.
Yeah, and I'm okay. That's mm-hmm. wow, that's awesome.
You know, and then just like the confirmation of like, okay, that relationship, like even though it was devastating to end, like it wasn't meant to be, like I am on track, or I can change my life, or I can get better, or you know, just to have, I feel like it just connects you with, you know, with this divine sort, whatever you call it, whether you call it energy or God or spirit, like it just gives you that connection, which like ends up being like an extra, you know, it's almost like having like extra backup through life.
Yeah. Just knowing that like there's someone who's got an eye on you and like,
mm-hmm. like, and there's some like purpose or some plan, like,
do you get doing all right? Yeah. I mean, do you have clients where you get like a full laid out plan that like spirit guides are like, you're supposed to be doing this thing, go do this thing. Do you get
stuff? Well, and usually it's like more of like, okay, like if your soul is a counselor, you might be getting that out in really draining toxic ways, because you might have relationships with people that need counseling because you're not doing it in your job.
Yeah.
Or as a hobby. So then it's like, sometimes I'll work with those people, like, okay, set boundaries here, and then go at least start volunteering here, or start like looking for jobs like this, like to get the ball rolling, like to fulfill that purpose in a healthy way so that it feels better for them.
Wow. That's interesting. That like,
so it's usually like guidance on like, you know, like, and I like, so it's the way that I work as a medium is they give more advice and guidance and kind of counsel to people versus being like, oh, like where it's more like disempowering of being like, oh, in 6 months,
you know, it's very direct.
Going to come in, that. Like you have no say, you know, like they're not.
Yeah. It's just like, here's some advice. Basically,
yeah, it's more of like, okay, well, this isn't really going in this direction, so if you want it to like work on this. I mean, I've definitely seen relationships ending where people aren't very happy about that, and then they do end, and then they come back, and
yeah, I mean,
spirit's able to help them through that, you know, or things. but so it kind of, you know, it helps people make like career moves or know like time frames of when to do things, you know.
Wow, kind of thing. I love that. And I lost the question. Spirit guides, tell me my question. No, that's not it either. Well, what a weird way to transition. I mean, this is all so fascinating. I want to talk, we touched on it a little bit when we first started the interview, so I guess maybe we'll like bring this around full circle. Okay. But you talked about how before you really embraced your, you know, abilities and leaned in. Actually, I remembered my question. I want to take one step back. Being, you know, sort of, you know, being a public figure about this, you know, you're out on the internet, you write books, you're coming and doing podcasts. Do you run into skeptics or people like, God knows, mm-hmm. on the internet, people just going, okay, this is a load of horseshit, mm-hmm. whatever. And if so, how do you handle that? How do you deal with that? What are your thoughts on people who just don't believe this?
Yeah. You know, I learned pretty early on, like, it's not my job to make people believe.
Love that.
You know?
Oh, what a sentence.
Right? Like, it's not, I mean, it doesn't matter. Like, it's not my business, really, whether they believe or not. Even when people come do readings, like I've had atheists come in and where they're just like grieving and they're like, I haven't believed in anything, any life after death my whole life. And, you know, this person really close to me just died and I can't fathom that they're gone, you know? And
wow.
Where we can like, where then people will come through with enough to prove to them that it's them, that I can't just be like, I couldn't have just like Googled them and, you know, be naming off initials and whatever. Yeah. Like, you know, but where their energy and their personality will come through, and then they're able to like tell them, explain it maybe in a form of energy or how they can connect. So it's not so much like, oh, they need to go believe in all mediums or mediumship, but it's that they can have a relationship with their person. So that's like how I look at my job more.
I love that.
I definitely went through a phase on the internet where, and it was funny for me, I found it was more when I was like really afraid to like come out of like the psychic closet. Like,
I'm sure, because you're like, you're gonna run into, I mean, even doing these interviews, cause I know I have listeners who I love and I engage with the people who mm-hmm. listen on, it's different social medias. Mm-hmm. I know I have some people who really are fully into this stuff, believe, and then people who are like, oh, here she goes having another one of these, woo woo. So I'm always like, you know, like mm-hmm. if this is possible, but you know, not wanting to admit that I'm like, no, yeah, no, I'm totally, that's yes, I believe and I agree.
Yeah. But,
and then to be in your position where you're like, I am a medium, having to go, well, listen, some of you are just gonna decide I'm nuts and not try to like further investigate why maybe this is a thing if there's
mm-hmm. yeah, so like I learned like you just have to be okay with it, and like it's not, it doesn't really, there, like for me it was getting over that fear of like they're gonna like burn me at the stake, right? Like,
I mean,
that was like a really like
well, because that was a thing for real at some point.
Exactly. So it was, you know, but as soon as I got over my fear, and like when I look at it, is like it's more about like who I can help versus how people feel about me.
Yeah, letting go of that ego side of, all right, if yeah. you're not into it, fine, but I can't help people until they know I can help them.
Yeah, and like I always encourage people to be healthy skeptics. I think And also with that said, like, I definitely have the clients who are like, can I send my boyfriend to you or my husband, like, who absolutely is a non-believer and you can change his mind.
Yeah.
And the answer is no, because if they've decided in themselves, I don't believe this.
Yeah. They're going to have confirmation bias. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's healthy, you know, there's that skepticism where there's no, I'm not going to change their mind no matter what. So yeah. It doesn't matter. And then there's like, you know, healthy skeptics that are like, okay, well, maybe some people can do this. I don't know about you, you know, and where, yeah. You know, they don't. And then I tell those people like, you know, well, anybody really, when you do go to a medium, like, don't tell them a whole bunch of information.
Yeah. Cause that's how you can get like scammed is you like, well, if you lay all of your dead friends and family on the table for someone to be like, oh yes, that one, that's who's here.
Yeah, but like, you know, but like do things and tell them to like bring stuff up, like, you know, like, hey, if it's really you, mention, you know, this memory or this music or this, or like give your spirit to, you know, like give them stuff to mention to validate.
Oh, wow.
To you. That's usually a good one.
I like that to go like, bring this up so I'll know it's you.
Mm-hmm.
That's. Oh, wow. I love that. That's so smart. Cause then it's like, well, if that happens, then that will, I don't know, cull your skepticism a little. Cause you're like, well, there's no way anyone could have known that. So yeah. And then it's, I mean, I love that. It's not your job to make people believe. That's like,
yeah, it's
beautiful. And two more questions and then I think we can wrap, but,
cool.
When you see psychics and mediums on film and television, how do you feel about that? Do you feel like they're realistic? Are you ever like, this is offensive? Like, how do you feel about the perception in media?
You know, that's a good question. Nobody asked me that.
Well, that was one of the patrons who subscribed to my podcast. Wow. He sent that in. So,
you know, I love that question. There's definitely times where I roll my eyes.
When they're like in a full headdress and they're like, I'm getting something.
Yeah. Like I really don't like that portrayal that the media does of like where all the psychics are kind of, you know, like overweight, and not that there's a problem with being overweight.
No, but it's just like this one look of like this
heavy black makeup. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, and like
they wear hoop earrings and jewelry.
Yeah, like there's like a stereotype.
Yeah.
And there's nothing, if that's somebody, there's nothing wrong with that. But I don't like that they make that like the role of the psychic or the medium, like in film.
Yeah. They are like, some of us have really natural makeup.
Yeah. I'm like, some of us aren't, you know, like we're just normal looking people.
I wouldn't walk down the street. You'd be like, she must be some type of spiritual person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, not all of us are all like, you know, woo-wooed out all the time.
Yeah.
You know, but so that's something that really, or where they present you more as like the fortune teller who, you know, they are more scam artists, you know, so that I don't like. And then with like the reality shows, you know, I think the thing, I don't know how, it doesn't really like bother me, but where I kind of roll my eyes is, you know, when they're filming those shows and they're doing like readings, like randomly out on the street, there's like, they're not really going up to strangers. Like there's, because you have to sign waivers to be filmed and to be read. So there's like a casting call where they're like, hey, come to this library and be there. And then so-and-so might read you. So I feel like that like gives people this like wrong, like impression of like all mediums are walking out around and we're just
and
like
going to grab onto anyone and be like, oh my God, your grandfather's here.
Yeah, like, I mean, I've definitely done, like, random, like, messages for waitresses or, like, you know.
Yeah, I was on that note, have you ever had, like, just someone really, like, hey, Can you just tell them something?
Once it was wearing all these bracelets, and like her grandmother was like, she's wearing my bracelets. Like, don't they look nice on her? And she's doing such a good job. And she just kept like my whole like lunch. She was just like,
this is a Jewish grandmother. Just like, aren't they great? Isn't she so good at her job?
Yeah, I love like her. So I finally broke down and I'm like, okay, like this is going to sound weird. And I'm so sorry to be intrusive. And I told her everything that I was hearing. And she was like, you know, like tears. She was like, oh my gosh. Like, that so-and-so. And then I also had a situation like where I was at an AA meeting and I saw these people, like somebody was speaking up at the podium and I saw these people behind her and it was like her mom and her grandmother. And there was some like connection. I was like being shown there's some connection with the three of them that she needs to be aware of. And I had no idea, kind of a vague message, you know,
which yeah.
I understood. And so I went up to her afterwards and I'm like, hey, this is like really vague and really random, but like, I just saw this and I thought that I should tell you. And she was like, don't you ever deliver a message like that to me again. You know, there's no way that my mom and grandmother are there. You're full of it. Like she just ripped into me. And I was just like, oh, oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Like, all right, well, let's see where your addiction comes from.
But it ended up being like, she came up to me like 6 months later to make an amends. And she was like, it ended up being that she had the same mental illness as them.
Oh wow.
And that they she was like able to forgive them through her own diagnosis. So it was really interesting.
Oh wow, that like generational trauma. Yeah. She was able to like let go of some of it.
Yeah. So it was, so I guess that was maybe the connection, but yeah. So that's kind of, you know, I mean, and I feel like on the shows too, like they exaggerate how fast it comes. Like they edit.
Because so it just looks like you're getting this immediate download of all this information.
Yeah. So what you're missing is all of the, okay, I'm feeling this and I'm feeling that, and where it comes through a little slower, like they're only clipping together the highlights.
The cool, like, oh,
yeah. So, yeah. You know.
So it just gives like the false perception that like you're going to go to a medium and they're going to be like, oh my God. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, no. Yeah.
It's like that. It takes a little bit more time. Like, so don't put all the pressure that it has to be like 15 minutes of, oh my God, this is amazing.
Yeah. Well, okay. And then on that note, before we fully wrap and I tell, you know, we tell people where they can go get readings from you. You know, we mentioned that last strangers reading in an AA meeting. I'm very familiar with those rooms. That's my mom dragged me to all of them.
Say, if you grew up there, you.
Yeah. And now I have to find my new rooms because of them. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, I should go to Al-Anon because of all of the AA meetings. Great. No, right, I don't want to be in that room. I hate that room. It'll help. Damn it. And we mentioned it sort of at the top of the podcast, how when you started really leaning into this and, you know, you quit, you know, drinking and I don't know if you were also using, but to quit taking substances and that sort of cleared your mind. Do you feel like there is a big connection between addiction and intuition that sometimes that like drives?
I 100%. I my personal theory, and this is, there's no proof of this at all. It's just my personal theory.
Yeah.
Is that like 80% of people with addiction, and I would even add in Al-Anon, you know, because the person who loves the addict, I think you have to develop an intuition of dealing with the addict.
Yeah.
Reading. Are they
reading in the room? Yeah.
Are they loaded? Are they not loaded? There is a scientific correlation between mediumship and trauma.
That's so interesting because only to interrupt you really quickly, I keep seeing this thing pop up in my, I follow a lot of, you know, a mental health trauma stuff. It pops up in like TikTok when I use it, Instagram. Mm-hmm. My whole Instagram explore page is like words that are like 9 reasons. But this thing of this common theme lately of people going like, you're not an empath. You have trauma and you've learned to be perceptive of your surroundings. And I keep wanting to talk about, like, I don't care what you call it. I know how you're feeling. I know that some, like you can relate it to whatever you want. Mm-hmm. I know something's wrong. Like, I don't care why. I know. Mm-hmm. I just know. Sorry. And you're saying that, like, that.
Yeah. So there is, like U of A has done studies. Like, there's been studies on mediums. My mentor was one of the mediums who did the studies there. And so they've proven that there is a correlation between trauma and, you know, not just mediumship, but all intuitive abilities, you know,
sort of, it almost like breaks open the gates maybe.
Yeah. And like, I think too, like disassociation, like you check it, like it might just open part, it makes your brain, like it forces you to have to function differently, which I mean, yeah, it's not ideal, but.
No, but that's, you know. I mean, what trauma healing is a lot of times is like, oh, it's not going to go away. You like, you learn to, how to function with what you, with mm-hmm. your situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that it's, you know, so there is that, and we all know that like trauma is connected with addiction and Al-Anon, obviously. Yeah. So, but I feel like a huge part of addiction is people trying to numb, whether it's full on mediumship abilities or empath abilities or, you know, prophetic, you know, abilities.
Absolutely. Like you're numbing. I mean, it's because, you know, if you have any type of ability to just if from just being an empath to the point of like absorbing others' emotions, but mm-hmm. then I can imagine full on prophecies or like being inundated as a medium is like overwhelming. I mean, mm-hmm. you're like,
yeah,
okay,
like,
and not at all
control over it. Yeah. You feel like you have no control over it until you learn the boundary. So it's like that, it becomes your way to try to control it. And, you know, and I feel like even people, even somebody who maybe like their intuition is just yelling at them, like you're on the wrong path or like you don't love this person or you need to change this. And like, they might start using addictively to try to numb out
that voice, that like
voice
knowledge.
Cause they're so afraid to change.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ask you one more question, which is just from my own experience. It might sound like a completely crazy question. Do you think, this is two questions, I guess. Do you think souls ever sporadically just leave a body? They're like, yeah, I'm done. I'm out of here.
And like the body stays alive. Like,
not alive.
Or
they just like drop dead, I assume.
Okay. But like,
I'll tell you what the experience was. And it could have just been a really vivid dream. Could have been nothing. I was on a plane and I am very good at falling asleep on planes. This is unrelated to what I'm about to tell you, but almost every time I fall asleep on a plane, I have a very vivid dream about a plane crash, which is just not fun. That's probably just anxiety, I think. What it's like, why? And yet still always fall asleep. Mm-hmm. But I was asleep on a plane, head down. I'm you can't tell probably on this, but I'm like 4'11". I'm a very like little person. Okay. So I can usually like fold my arms, put my face down on the little tray.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to remember all of it, but I like visibly saw my, I lifted out of my body and saw my body still there. And then I was like raising my arm, but it was like a spirit arm almost coming out of a body. And then I heard this very loud voice in my head. And it was so loud that I woke up and I was afraid that I was like, did I shout that something happened? But I heard a voice go, and I know everyone listening to this, if you're a skeptic, you're like, oh, okay, she's off the walls, whatever, who cares? But like, I literally heard a voice go like, you are not done here. And then I like bolted away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That could just be a really weird dream. But mm-hmm. do you think there's instances of like souls trying to just like suicide themselves? I don't know if that could be, but just being like, I'm just going to get out of here while she's sleeping.
Well, and I feel like maybe it's sometimes like a, not even like a suicide thing, but like a wandering, like, or like just an exiting the body, like whether it's due
like,
to for, trauma,
like planning. Yeah. Okay.
Or, I mean, it might've been like your soul, like, I'm not sure about this whole plane. Like if you, let's say like maybe you died in a plane crash in a past life. So
sure seems
your
like
your soul might be a little like hesitant about this whole plane thing. And like, are you sure? Like, oh, is it our time to go? And they're like, nope, get back in there.
That's so funny. Like, no, that's funny. Just like a soul trying to leave and like, no, you're fine. Like, like a dog when it's afraid of fireworks. Mm-hmm. Like, no, you're, it's just,
it's, yeah, it's like, you're okay. Like, because sometimes that happens like in surgery or like,
I hear that the people like go, lift up and see themselves.
Or any kind of trauma, I think, you know, people can like lift out almost and then they come back when
they
it's snap safe.
Back. Well, and they hear, yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about like astral projection and stuff. And mm-hmm. like, there was a while in my adult life when I was like getting real, I was really into meditation and now I like need to be better at meditating, but I would like try to astral project and be like, come on. But I feel like as a kid, I either had extremely vivid dreams or I used to just like straight up get out of my body and I'd run down the street and then just like fly off to the stars.
Yeah.
But come back. And then at some point the ability to have that dream, mm-hmm. which how can you really control dreams too much? But like that went away. So I think I was chasing some sort of nostalgia, but do you think astral projection, is that like,
yeah. So like in my experience, like
massage for the soul.
And I've had those like astral projection experiences of like leaving this realm, like going wow. to like other realms. And I kind of always thought that it was just like, oh, I have really cool dreams or like, I have a really good imagination.
Yeah.
But I had an experience once where I had been praying to have a closure conversation with this person that was too dangerous for me to go see in person. Yeah. And I had this, it felt like a dream, but it was very real of like where I was in my pajamas and everything. And I was in this person's room and I woke them up and I talked to them and we had this conversation. And then I came
wow.
back and I woke so up cool. and I felt a lot better, but I was like, oh, it's probably just like my dream or just like a soul thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. The part that really freaked me out was a mutual friend called me the next day and said, so-and-so had this crazy dream in his room. And like, he named off like the whole conversation and I was like,
I have chills. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. Well, that's great though. Cause you're like, oh, then you get to go, that was real. I got my closure and I'm safe.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So, and then, yeah, and I was like, oh, cool. I can actually like be done.
That's so cool. So anyone listening, trust those experiences, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And on that note, I got to wrap up.
I'm not going to lie to you.
I could talk all day and I'm not going to lie to you. I got to pee. where can people find you if they want to follow you, go get a reading? How do they do that?
Yeah, so sarahreneeinc.com is my website. It has my bio under the contact page. There's like all info about readings and you can book right there. And then sarahsunshine444 on Instagram. That's probably, I mean, I'm on Facebook under Sarah Renee too, but Instagram, I post like guided meditations every weekend. I post a lot of tips and client stories and all that stuff. So
I love that. Okay. Well, everyone go get a reading from Sarah Renee. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I love your show. I love you just talk about everything. Like,
we just dive in. I know. That's the whole thing is, how many questions can I squeeze in to every guest? And I'm like, what do you know? Tell me. I want to learn. I'm just using a podcast as an excuse to learn as much as I can.
That's amazing.
All right. Well, bye, everybody. We will see you next time.
Yeah. Bye.